This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We've been telling you about Oregon Wine Month. In the month of May, we're doing a series of interviews talking to local folks involved in the industry. And back in studio today, Patrick Spangler, Spangler Vineyards. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So for people that haven't heard your story, and you've been here a long time, so a lot of people have, but how did you get into this whole world of wine?
Well, it's interesting. I actually started by making beer while I was in college, started in 1985, switched to wine in 1989, moved to the West Coast. We've been here 21 years now. In fact, this weekend will be the 21st anniversary of our opening the tasting room here in Harrisburg.
Wow. Well, and amazingly enough that you, we didn't plan that.
No. Quite frankly, we fell in love with Harrisburg. My daughter was three. We were looking for somewhere to go, the winery for sale. And I don't know if people around here realize how good a school system Harrisburg really has comparatively. Such a beautiful area to live, and fell in love with it and bought the winery and have been here ever since.
So if people don't know where you're at, kind of talk about your property a bit.
Well, we're down right beside Love's Truck Stop, quite frankly, but the winery is behind the hill. So you see the vineyard on the front, but it's hard to see the building. So people are a little surprised we're there. We still hear from people that have been here for a long time that don't realize we're there because you can't see the building.
And how many acres of property do you have?
Well, we have 17 and a half acres. About 9 are planted, but we do not have water in that location. So we're 100% dry farmed. So we do have to buy grapes in addition to what we grow.
And how did you decide to pick that property?
Well, it was for sale. It had an old vine cab and some red grapes, which I love to make. And again, it was in Harrisburg, which we loved. We looked around a lot and decided this was the spot to raise a family.
And talk about how things have evolved. You came in, and what did you kind of do the first year?
Well, it's been a pretty interesting change. When I bought what was La Garza Cellars at the end of 2003, there were 8 tasting rooms open in the area. I believe there are 28 now. So it's been quite a bit of growth in that regard. And I think the quality in this area has gone up so much in the last 20 years as well. The price quality of the wine in the Umpqua is extremely high right now.
And are there particular varietals that you specialize in?
Yes, we're obviously known for our big reds, and I grow Cab Sauv, but I love Cab Sauv, Cab Franc. We do Petite Syrah, Petite Verdot, a bunch of unusual things.
And when you decided to get in to having a vineyard, what was your background before that?
Well, actually, I was a professional trader, Chicago Mercantile Exchange in Chicago, but I grew up on a farm, have been growing things my entire life, so the vineyard part was actually pretty easy. The question was, could I go from a home winemaker to being a professional winemaker? Was that really something I can do? And to my surprise, it actually was easier in that I had such better equipment and testing things, and larger batches were actually easier than smaller batches for me to make.
And though you had to make a pretty big investment into getting everything started.
Yes, we were prepared to do that, though. I had sold the house in Chicago and moved to the West Coast explicitly to buy a winery.
And were there other areas you looked at before you settled on the Umpqua Valley?
Yes. In fact, we're in Sonoma County for quite a while. I had several things fall out of escrow down there, which would have required me having a partner and big investment with other people anyway. So overall, I think it turned out much better that we came up here.
And land prices really different here versus there?
Oh, hugely different then. They still are. But yeah, we could buy something for 30 cents on the dollar what it was down there.
And how many folks do you have working with you?
Just one.
So, but yet you seem to crank out a lot of wine.
We do. I like to make a lot of different varietals. This is 38 years now for me making wine. And as you can imagine, you get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again. So, you know, even in the last couple of years, we've managed to find some new stuff. I've got some Teraldigo coming out. You know, I've got some Tinto Cayo. I've got Mourvedre. I've got all these different things. On top of the fact, we already do Dolcetto and Petite Syrah, Petite Verdot, and a bunch of different other varieties.
So you have a lot to keep track of there. And especially being essentially a two-person operation, how do you keep track of everything that needs to be done?
Well, we have gone a lot more computerized in recent years. I was old school and had copious pages of notes, and next thing you know, you can't find something, and it's become much easier to do online and with computers, which has really helped. So we're able to keep track pretty well that way.
And over the course of the year, kind of explain kind of the different seasons of owning your operation.
Well, when you have a vineyard and winery, it's a little different than just a vineyard. Now, the vineyard's really getting very busy right now in May. It takes an awful lot of work and thinning and pruning and all kinds of things. Then the summer's quite busy. And, of course, as we get into the fall, it's harvest time. Now, once you get to, say, November, the vineyard kind of goes to sleep, and you don't have that much to do until probably February the next year. But the winery, the busiest time actually is the fourth quarter. Right. So you start talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, New Year's Eve and all that. You know, we do almost 50% of our annual sales in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of people are they is some of that is that people kind of stocking up? Is it gifts or more?
Both. You've got a lot of people traveling around, yet the weather is not so good to be outside, for example, or be on the coast when it's, you know, 50 degrees and raining. People are doing something indoors instead of outdoors, so we tend to get a lot more traffic that time of year.
And what's a normal day like for you?
Well, I still trade professionally, which is what I've done forever. I get up at 5:30, and I typically work at home from 6:30 to 9:30, then go to the winery, and I'm there 10 to 7 on an average day. I practically live there doing so many things because I do so much of it. But I do love making wine. Even though I've been doing it forever, I still like doing it. It still gets me out of bed. It's something I enjoy.
That's a unique combination. I didn't realize you were still involved in trading.
Yes, that's how I bought the winery. That's how I bought the house. I was in Chicago for a long time. I have been trading since 1986.
What is it? Those seem like two totally different occupations.
They are, and quite frankly, winemaking kind of calms me down. It gives me an outlet that is a long, slow thing. Particularly to make a big red wine, you're really talking about 3 years. Whereas trading and investing, you know, I'm doing multiple things per day. So extremely different parts of your brain you're using. To me, winemaking is my art.
And at the same time, though, I mean, I could picture kind of a similarity in that there's different aspects to trading based on what you're trying to achieve and how many different things you're working with there. In a winery, you also have got to exercise kind of the same diligence about looking, you know, both at the short term and the long term to kind of factor how you do it.
Exactly. Particularly, like I say, with red wines, we're talking about a three-year turnaround. You have to project what you're going to need and what you're going to be releasing at points in the future. And in Oregon, with the way that the weather varies so much, reacting in the vineyards to what has to be done is never the same thing twice. So you're constantly looking at things in the short run, but in the long term, all right, so right now we're in the first half of 2025, and I'm looking at wines that we're going to be releasing in the summer of 27. All right, so that's how far we're looking on things. So you just have to keep projecting and keep processing in that way.
As you look at the vineyard right now, how is the year gone weather-wise?
Well, we were very wet early, of course. In March, we were flooded. It was ridiculous. But we've been warm and dry since. The vineyard has caught up. I'd say we're about to even on a normal year right now in our 20-year history. Everything's looking very good. The water content's up. Everyone I'm talking to, the vineyards look very good, and the weather forecasts look very good. So I'm pretty optimistic on this year.
And is there anything brand new you're doing this year for the first time in your vineyard?
Not in the vineyard, but we are putting some final touches on a complete revamp of the winery and tasting room. The site was built in the mid-70s and unfortunately looks like it. We're looking to do an entire facelift and completely modernize the deck and the tasting room and a lot of different things to try and attract some new people to the winery.
Well, so you have your hands full.
A big time, yes.
All right. We're going to talk more with Pat Spangler when we come back. Oregon Wine Month interview on Inside Douglas County. It'll be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County. 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, it's going to be a two-part program. We're going to be talking about cares of Douglas County. They've got an event coming up soon. And also, State Representative Alex Scarlatos will be with us on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. And next week, another Oregon Wine Month interview. But today, we're talking to Patrick Spangler from Spangler Vineyards about wine in the Umpqua. Now, 21 years, your anniversary this weekend. Talk about some of the changes. I mean, you mentioned a bit, but kind of go more in depth about some of the changes you've seen since you got here.
Well, the population's actually gone up a lot in Roseburg, we're getting a lot more known than what we were. So they've done some studies. For example, ODOT, there's 25,000 cars drive by my site a day. You know, that was probably 15,000 in the past. So we have a lot more people coming through. And I think the knowledge of the wine in this area has gone up a lot. Because you've got, with myself, I won Winery of the Year in 2018. Russell has won Winery of the Year multiple times in multiple places. Abicella has won that. Brandenburg has won that. Well, there's 1,200 wineries in Oregon, yet you've got four or five wineries in Roseburg that have won Winery of the Year in Oregon. That's a pretty big deal.
And all the wineries here as well, it's kind of an interesting mix to sort of watch it from where I'm at. You've got folks that have kind of grown up with the industry for years, but a lot of people like you, and I could name several others, you kind of started in one career and then you switched to what it sounds like you probably would have liked to have been doing all the time.
Yes, I think that's true of quite a few people. But for myself, it's kind of interesting because I ended up being a professional trader and owning a winery. Yet when I graduated from high school, I didn't know those two professions even existed. Right? My parents were teetotalers, and I never knew anything about investing in stock. I grew up on a farm. So things have changed. I'm really happy with where it's gone, but very unexpected. Now, you have quite a few people in this area that have come here to open wineries and do things. Part of the reason being the barrier of entry was pretty low relative to other places, and it's a great place to live and raise a family.
And when you were leaving high school, starting college, what did you think you would do career-wise?
Actually, my degree is in finance and international economics. I was pointing toward the finance industry. And I ended up moving to Chicago and trading in Chicago for 15 years before I moved to the West Coast.
And as you look around here with all the changes, what about the future potential? I mean, we've seen a number of, over the last several years, number of properties where folks are coming in to source grapes for other locations. We've got, but yet there's a lot more land that's still there that a lot of people will point to and say, gosh, that'd be a great place to grow grapes.
Well, I think that's very true. Douglas County, in general, has a lot of agriculture land that would still be suitable for grapes. And the prices here are still within reason comparative to other places. But we have such a diversity. Myself, down near Green and Abicella over to Winston, is a very hot area. Hot and dry. And now you get in the middle of the valley, Garden Valley area, you have real deep soil and you grow a whole lot of things. You know, you've got Melrose and you've got Blue Heron and some of that. And then you go all the way up to Elkton, where it's quite a bit cooler and the ocean influence and Pinot Noir and Pinot Green, all these kind of things. So the diversity of this area is very big. The quality of the wines relative to the prices is very high. I think the future here is very bright.
People I've talked to who pass through the area talk about sort of the accessibility of being able to visit a tasting room and maybe even meet the owner, which a lot of places, even in the especially parts of the Willamette Valley and certainly down in California, never happens.
Correct. Boy, the vast majority of the places in the Umpqua Valley, if you go there, if the principal's very likely there if they're not even in the tasting room. So you absolutely get to meet the owners and winemakers, and I think it's a much better experience for most people.
And do you feel like as well, I mean, we've got a lot of different price points, but certainly some of the things I've seen out of California sometimes, I have been kind of shocked at the price level, and yet the quality doesn't necessarily reflect that large price.
Well, I kind of agree with that. A lot of people don't, but I think that's one of the reasons we have such a bright future here. Some of these people, I think, have gotten ahead of themselves on pricing some. So when you can buy something here for one-third of the price that it is somewhere else for relatively similar quality, obviously we have a bright future.
And now, do you still delve into beer at all?
I would like to. I started by making beer, of course, but I have talked with the OLCC about this, but because the different taxing regimens, I would have to have a totally separate location or within the building to do both. So I've opted just to stick with wine.
So, and you couldn't even do that just as a hobby kind of thing?
I could, but I have enough demands on my time if I wasn't going to do it a little bit more professionally. And we have quite a few good breweries around here, so I decided not to do that.
What do you see for your future plans for Spengler? You mentioned some of the work on the tasting room in the building. What else is ahead?
Well, I can't divulge some of it. I've got some very big plans for this year that we're going to totally redo the winery and do some other things. We're fortunate in that we might be the only winery in most of Oregon that has commercial tourism zoning. So we can do anything we want. People may remember I bought La Garza Cellars and Kitchen. They operated as a restaurant for quite a while. We're toying with the idea of bringing a lot more food service back and trying to do some different things in the valley here. But that takes a lot of time and a lot of money. But I think we're finally at a point where we're looking to do some of that.
Now, when you, you spend all day with trading, with wine and all of that, and with all the different things that you grow and produce, is there a particular wine that's still your personal favorite?
Yes and no. Sometimes it's what I haven't had most recently. But to be honest with you, I'm a huge advocate of the Petit Sirah. I've always liked that grape. I've always liked that wine. I try and make it every year here when I can get it. It's difficult to do in Oregon. We're going to highlight that this weekend, actually, with the tasting pass that the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association are doing. So we're going to be doing that with some dark chocolate, so everyone that wants to stop by can do that. It's just a big, dark, dense wine that I happen to love.
And I know this tasting pass this weekend, I think there's about 14 wineries or something involved with this.
I'm not sure the exact number, but quite a few. We're trying to do some pairings to get people to look at things a little bit differently. I personally am a huge advocate of food and wine pairings. That's what I do every single evening for my own personal meals. And it brings out such different aspects of wine and food. It's what it's all about, I think.
Well, and I know years ago when I was just beginning to learn about wine, and Scott Henry had actually, at an event I was emceeing, was doing food and wine pairings way back. And it was interesting to listen to, and that was kind of a new thing for me. And one night, though, I had a revelation. We'd had some pepperoni pizza for dinner on the weekend. My wife had gone to bed. I was watching a movie, and I went back, got a glass of whatever it was that we had open, and suddenly the wine tasted totally different after I had a slice or had a bite of the pizza.
Absolutely.
And it was like a light went off.
There are a lot of pairings that do that, too, in different varietals and different foods. You know, what you're going to pair with beef is one thing. What you're going to pair with salmon's a whole nother. What you're going to pair with pastas tends to be a whole nother thing. It's fun to play with, quite frankly.
As you look around the entire state, what do you see ahead for the statewide industry?
I think the statewide industry still is in pretty good shape. We got a lot of hand-wringing about the fact that wine sales are declining some right now. I think that's way overblown. We got a big take out of wine thanks to COVID over a couple of years. So we sold way above what the trend had been. Now we're going back down to trend. Well, unfortunately, people overproduced thinking that amount would still be there, and it's not. So we're having a little bit of a retrenchment period, but Oregon's still widely known for very good wine, very green state. Relative to everything else, our wines are pretty reasonably priced. I like the industry's future.
Do you feel like tasting room traffic is still doing well? I've heard just because sometimes people are doing more, when it comes to food, more takeout than, being consuming there.
In this area, we're still doing pretty well on tasting room traffic. We're down slightly. I saw some studies on it earlier this year that significant declines in Napa and Sonoma and even in Willamette. Yet Southern Oregon as a whole was the one bright spot that our tasting room traffic was actually slightly up.
So talk a bit, because it's your anniversary this weekend, about what you have planned and what hours you're going to be open.
Well, we will be open 11 to 6 every day through the weekend, as we are normally. Not doing a whole lot of specials. We'll do some special things. It's such a busy travel weekend that it's a little difficult for us to do that. We are doing the Umpqua Pass with the Umpqua Valley Winery. So if you're not familiar with that, every winery's got a different variety, and they're going to do a single pairing with that for you to try. So you can try a bunch of different things and go around. So for myself, I picked the Petit Sirah again because it's my favorite wine and something different for people to look at. So I think it's fun. I think we're doing fine. A little overblown concern, but it's not going away.
And what is your favorite part about doing what you do?
The challenge of getting the grapes every year and getting the best out of that, because it's never the same thing twice. Even the same vineyard, even the same grape, it is not the same thing twice. That's where the creativity comes in. You've got to be able to assess what those grapes are. Where can I go with this? How do I bring out the best characteristics of that varietal from that vineyard from that year?
All right, Patrick Spengler from Spengler Vineyards, happy anniversary. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.